habit. Mine just goes on and off and on and off, you know, hour after hour. But, you know, how do you know that it wasn't in the off position, that everything was normal, and it would eventually start back up again? Back to you, Jeff.
Because I had the power, I had all my power supplies taken apart of the ones I have access to in the house. I have five of these. I'm talking to one of them right now, which is powering this particular VHF Motorola radio. They make great little power supplies because they put out about 20 amp peak at 13 volts, and they're not very heavy like an Astron supply, which will, you know, hold down your desk. These things are very nice little power supplies. They're very compact in size, and they have very good regulation because the 20 amps of current through, they have about 20, 30 milliamps of ripple. So it worked very well. How I knew it was failing is because I had the cover off. I was just making other adjustments. There's a voltage regulator adjustment that you make with, you know, 20 amps load. And I have a resistor configuration set up to give me a 20 amp load or something like that. I also bought a precision resistor of 0.1 ohms at like 1% because there's another circuit in there that you set up the overvoltage or current to trip. And you're supposed to set it for like 0.15 volts across this resistor as you have this power supply off and turn it back on. That's when I discovered the fan didn't work, because I also tested the fans by taking a hair dryer and held it over the thermistor. I want to automatically turn on and make sure the fan would turn on. And then put the power supply on, and it did that, the fan did not turn on. I started making some measurements according to the schematic, discovered this particular peculiarity of the what this fan was doing. I'd never seen one do that before, where the fan would stop, it had nothing to start it. It had nothing to start it, and it was like a very low voltage drop across the fan. But of course, normally it's about like 8.7 to 9 volts in about, I think the fan is drawing about 60 mils of current, approximately.
Okay, very good, very good. I mean, mine just keeps going on and on, so yeah. If the fan quit, I probably wouldn't even know about it unless something bad happened. But yeah, I got the same PS50 power supply. It's just a fantastic power supply. All right, back to you, Dick.
To be so light and compact like that, Joe, it sounds like it's a switching type power supply. No real power transformer to it, is that true?
Oh, it's got a transformer. Oh, you go back to Joe. It's got a transformer.
I would think these are what you call, a series regulator type of power supply. I don't think it's a switching supply. I don't think so. There's actually two thermistors. There's enough thermistor on the board, which must help change the voltage regulation setting versus ambient heat. But it's got one, this thermistor that controls the fan is mounted onto a heat sink or heat sink area right next to the big voltage rectifier, which is planted, you know, on the same block also. So I'm glad the fan didn't quit. Well, I hope it's not quick or didn't quit. It won't quit later on. And I don't know if you can take these to get these things. I like to take it out of the power supply, and I don't know if these things have to be oiled at all. You know anything about something like that, Dick? Because the entire assembly, actually, it's in a metal assembly that has two brackets on each side, circular brackets, that hold electrolytic filter capacitors. First of all, I don't know if this whole assembly is still available for Kenwood anymore. And I think you'd have to buy it that way because you can't get the thing out of the bracket. It's like a spot riveted together in this bracket, which maps the middle of the power supply. So if it goes bad, I don't know how to replace this, really, if it's available to replace it.
Yeah, I don't think anybody can...
2HWW.
Go ahead, Tyree. Go right ahead, Howie.
Yeah, I just got to make a comment about fans. Joe, when you look at when a fan is not turning, it doesn't generate back EMF. So you're going to have no voltage drop or very little voltage drop because the actual resistance in DC is not to beat it, but the actual resistance is going to be close to zero. And once the fan comes up to speed, that's when you're going to have a voltage drop because you have a back EMF. Just remember that with any fan, that you have to worry about inrush current. So when a fan is not moving, when you first apply a voltage potential, EMF, to a fan, you'll have a lot of inrush current. And as the fan comes up to speed, the amount of current that fan will draw will be less. Back to you, Dick.
Okay. Whether or not the fan itself is in error, is there any way that you could wire in the fan, not even by moving the fan, but wire in the fan from a known good fan versus the one in your defective unit? My guess is your driver transistors are doing something funny. Over to you, Joe.
No, the wires are too short. You have to, I mean, they use these little miniature Japanese sockets, and the only way to actually activate the thing or do something with it is to stick, miniature resistors in the socket pins and then put clip leads under them to actually get at it. You can't do anything with this thing, you know, the way the thing is constructed. The only thing that seemed to help is I took it out in the garage, I took my air compressor, powered off about 140 pounds of pressure, and I blew the whole thing out. There wasn't much dust or dirt or anything I've collected inside this thing, but I let it made it spin the fan from both directions, blowing it from one way to the other way. I did that for about maybe 10 minutes each way. Took it back inside, and it seemed to start up every single time. Remember, besides even the thermistor, if you ground that first NPN transistor, that turns on the second NPN transistor, which turns on the PNP transistor. So you can artificially just take about a 2K resistor to ground, signaling the low resistance of the thermistor, and I can artificially turn it on and do that with a working power supply, just to simulate the fan circuit going on. And when they did that on a working one, it would be 0 volts across the fan and about maybe 7 volts initially as it first started to turn. Then you'd watch that drop from the fan to... Then you watch the drop on the fan to ground go up a bit, somewhere around 8.5 to 8.9 volts, approximately. But I did notice when I was checking my Fluke, that I did see the ripple of back EMF, something coming from the fan, because that was about 200 millivolts of ripple, approximately, when the fan, on a good power supply, when it was working correctly. Back to you.
When you did your experiment, you didn't feed it with an 82 ohm resistor from the transistors. You fed it with a higher ohm resistor to a particular voltage of the power supply. Is that true, Joe?
But not by much, though. I think I had a 200 ohm, 5% resistor. And that worked the same thing because the transistor is running off a 14 volt bus. So when it turns on, it basically has 14 volts on the other side of the transistor, which feeds this 82 ohm resistor, and that drops it down about 9, they tell you 9 volts in the schematic, but the reality is it could vary between 8.5 to 8.9 that you can see on a DC, on a Fluke. Dropping through the 200 ohm resistor, I got almost the same voltage across the fan to ground, so it didn't make too much of a difference. It probably just limited the current a little more to it.
Yeah, but your 200 ohm resistor is more than twice, almost three times the value of the 82. So therefore, your fan motor sees a much higher impedance starting voltage. Therefore, you probably had to push it with your finger to get it going. Is that true?
Initially, yes, because I didn't know what the problem was. And as I said, I'd never seen the fan do this before. Where it was just something stuck. It was just simply wouldn't. You couldn't even see the thing even start to turn. It didn't do. There was no physical movement you could observe whatsoever. It would just simply be a very low resistance from that side to ground, and it was heating up the 82 ohm resistor. That's why I didn't want to keep on doing it, because I didn't want to burn up that resistor. I think it calculated out to be about like 300-400 milliwatts of power across a half ohm. Well, more than that. I think it was about maybe 500-600 ohms. 500-600 milliwatts of current going through that resistor. But anyway, I didn't want to heat up the resistor on the board.
and caused the chain of supply. I just took an extra resistor hat in my junk box and used it that way for the same 13-14 volt bus. And eventually I got the thing that, as I said, when I could watch as I physically turned the fan and saw the fan to rotate, you could see the voltage come up to 1.2, 2.1, 3 volts and so forth. Eventually the fan would take off and just go by itself and then come up to the normal voltage. They would tell you that the schematic was supposed to be like 9 volts, so it was a little less than that. But blowing it out with an air compressor definitely seemed to help, and I tested it for quite a length of time afterwards. I seem to have corrected the problem. If it had some sort of something inside it, preventing it friction-wise from starting, maybe I blew it out of the fan. I don't know if you can, sir, if you can take a syringe and lubricate it, and actually lubricate these fans at all. I don't know if that's required, these things, or not. Do you?
I don't think anybody has designed those kind of fans, muffin-like fan, miniature version of it. I can't believe they designed any of them so that they require lubrication. In theory, they've got lifetime lubrication, I think, Joe, go ahead.
Okay, so, you know what got inside this fan, if perhaps some collection of dust or something else that eventually the compressor blew out, it kept that way, because I said I was able to test it repeatedly for a good length of time. And the circuit would always come on and turn the fan on. So another one of my supplies I put on the side as a spare supply. The other ones that I have, they all seem to be worked out, had access to have fans in them also, and they all seem to work fine. But I guess, you know something, Paul? Yes, you can hear the fan run, but if the fan didn't run, I guess what it would do after a while would probably start making the circuit board a little on the hot side, because the two power transistors are right underneath the circuit board. I would imagine if they started generating a lot of heat through the heat sinks and whatever, that would probably start to discolor the circuit board a little bit. Yeah, I copy that, Joe. Yeah, okay. I mean, mine makes a little noise, but it's always been like that. Since what, the 1986, it keeps on running. It's running now. And that's what I use for this radio and for the HF 440. Back to you.
When you study the schematic of those driver transistors that drive the 82 ohms, is there any kind of a feedback network, a resistor in a feedback mode, where the thing will flop on and flop off? I'm having trouble believing that's a pure analog circuit, if you know what I mean, Joe.
Nope, there was nothing fed back from one later stage to an earlier stage where I know what you're talking about, a way to keep things latched on. No, nothing like that at all. The voltage was biased to a certain point where they tell you in the schematic. I'll give you an example, like on the first one that had a biasing resistor going to the positive bus. It had one go in the ground, then it had a diode with the cathode going towards another resistor going to the positive bus. Then at that point, the thermistor goes to ground. I'm not sure why the diode was there. I guess it's letting it just draw current in one direction. But the circuit has no feedback, nothing latching it. But with the fan not energized or not working, and they tell you their way of testing it, they tell you to test it, is put a 6-amp load across the power supply. But you have to wait a while to get that to trigger, to see if the semester will trigger. I found a hair dryer works a lot easier, it's a lot faster. But anyway, the voltage is like 3.3 volts non-running and 3 volts running. So it's not a very big voltage swing on the base of that first transistor. The other voltages don't change very much either as you change states of those transistors, turning them off to turning them on.
The actual voltage going to the 82 ohm resistor is either 0 or 9 volts. Is that roughly true, Joe?
No. Not to the resistor. What feeds the resistor is a PNP transistor, and that has 14 volts on one side of it. And as you turn on the transistor on the other side, you get about 14 volts on the high side of this 82 ohm resistor. On the low side to the fan, you're supposed to have about 9 volts to ground, which is what the fan is going across it's going to ground on the other side of the resistor.
Okay, so the transistor It's fed from the 14-volt supply, and when the transistor turns on, you get 14 volts going to the 82-ohm resistor. And if you slowly change the equivalent thermistor resistance, do you think that 14 volts coming out of that transistor with the 14-volt supply, you think it would continuously change? I don't. Over to you, Joe.
WB2HWW with a comment.
No, it didn't do that at all. It didn't change. Because I watched it from purposely fooling the thermistor, well, the first transistor, think that the thermistor was conducting. And I as I said, I put a 2,000 ohm resistor to the ground on that first NPN transistor, and you can actually see the fan either on a working supply, it either turns on or it's not there. There's no in between. It doesn't gradually turn off. It just simply is either on or it's off. So they have the transistors biased at one specific level to have a very fine point where they all switch and the other either have it running or not running.
That's the flip-flop action I've been saying for a long time, and you keep saying no, no, no. It's either got an on mode or an off mode. It doesn't have an analog mode is what I'm hearing you say, Joe. Go ahead.
Okay, different choice of words there. Okay, so it does work like that, if you want to call it like an old-fashioned flip-flop. It does work in that behave in that type of fashion. I have nothing else to say about it. I just thought I'd bring it up because in case somebody else has ever come across this type of problem with a power supply that's got a fan-operated, controlling system in it. I mean, a temperature-controlled system of controlling the fan.
And if the bad one, when you adjust the equivalent resistance of the thermistor, the bad one never turns on with applying 14 volts to the 82 ohm resistor. Is that what you're saying, Joe?
WB2HWW.
No. But as I spun the fan on my finger, I could watch the voltage all of a sudden change on the low side of the 82 ohm resistor from like 0.2 volts, 0.25 volts. Up to about 1, 2, 3, 4 volts. Then as the fan started to rotate, pick up speed, that voltage eventually would go up to about 8.5 volts and pretty much stay there consistently. After I took that power supply out to the garage and blew the dust and whatever out of it with my compressor with the high level of pressure, I did that for 10 minutes into the fan in each direction, made it rotate 10 minutes each way, took it back inside and put it on my bench, and I didn't have any more problems with it. So I'm not sure what's going on inside, but something was apparently stopping the fan from physically starting to turn.
WB2HWW, K2RIW, Great Howie.
All right, two things, Dick. One, that's not really a flip-flop. What they're doing there, they have a voltage. They got the thermistor in a voltage divider. They have a diode probably going to the base of the transistor, I would assume. And what happens is when the voltage is high enough, that diode gets forward biased. The diode turns on. And because they've probably got, the way the beta, the HFE of those transistors, you go from off to saturation. So, there's no linear region. You're not operating those transistors in a linear region. Either they're saturated or not saturated. It doesn't take much of a voltage change because, I don't know if they are germanium. They're most likely, are they germanium? Because if you're saying it's only 3 to 3.3 volts, that would say they're germanium. So there could be germaniums. And if they have any kind of HFE, Dick, the kind of current you're dealing with, you're going to go right from cutoff to saturation. That's the first thing. The second thing is, when I get power supplies, I have Astron supplies. And what I do with the Astron supplies is I get rid of those thermistors. I keep the fan going all the time. I believe that you get longer life out of a fan if you let it run. I mean, if you don't have to deal with the noise doesn't bother you, then I feel that you always let a fan run continuously. Because once the fan goes, if you keep jerking them on and off, they don't last as long, Dick. But I think that what you got there is a setup, is that you got a voltage divider, which is a mister, and you got the diode, And once the voltage comes up to a certain voltage, that dial gets forward biased, and then forward bias is the base.
It does sound like that thermistor circuit has a threshold that when you hit it, the voltage just about jumps to full on, is what I think is going on with a good one, Joe. Oh, you joke, KGIW.
I would agree, because that's why they have the cathode of the diode. As I said, that there's a two-region, I don't know if I recall the exact value of the first NPN transistor. There's one going up to the plus-plus, one going to minus. So you're biasing that transistor at a certain point. The anode of a diode is going to the base. The cathode is going to another resistor going to the positive bus. I think it's like a 3,000 ohm resistor. It's that one I remember. I didn't look at the parts list to see what the thermistor's resistance actually is, but I put a 2K to ground, and I got the thing turned on. I got the fan circuit effectively be a turn on. So I think Howie's right. There's something where it's operating at a point where either it's not conducting or it's full conduction. There's very little in between. That's probably why the diode helps make it do that very quickly.
Joe, what's the easiest way that I could see a schematic of that power supply? If you told me the model number and brand name of the power supply and I did a Google search, would I eventually get a schematic of the power supply?
Yes, a PS, PS50, PS53. I think they're both the same. It's also in the Kenwood service manual for the TS450, TS690, so like the last couple of pages. I don't know if you'll find one of those online. But the Kenwood supply itself is a PS, basically it's a PS50.
So, Kenwood PS50, and you believe that Google might have a schematic of that that's available, a service manual or an operating manual?
Oh, it's PS5. I didn't try looking on Google for a schematic because the schematic for the power supply is included in my service manual for my TS690, which also covers the TS450. So I think the last four or five pages have about two or three pages worth that give you the PC board layout schematic of the power supply and its adjustment procedure for adjusting the voltage regulator and the foldback protection circuit.
Okay, understand. Anybody have anything further that want to discuss tonight? Give me your call letters right now, KGIW.
WB2HWW. Dick, just wanted your comment on what I said about fans. Do you agree with me that you should leave the fans on all the time instead of turning them on and off? I'm curious what your opinion is.
I don't know. Formally speaking, fan on all the time, of course, makes the whole circuit run cooler. That's the good news. The bad news is you're now putting a lot more air through the system, and you're eventually going to, in the real world, eventually block it up with dust. And the fan probably has some number of hours at which it works before it wears out. So now we're weighing reliability of transistors by keeping them cool versus reliability of the rest of the power supply because of dust suck up and wear out of the fan. That's not an easy choice. Over to you, Howie, K2IW.
But let me tell you what, Dick. By the way, I got two comments to make for anybody who has Astron RM60s. I found a way to get the RM60s to give you close to 70 amps of continuous current. Let me make two comments. One on the fans, I feel you get much more light because what happens is, you know what happens when a fan is running and you suddenly turn it off, it sometimes doesn't want to start up again. Now, I know for a fact that Western Electric used to, any time they had to turn off a fan, they would replace it. That's the first thing. Second thing, what I've done with Astron Power Supply, for anybody's comments, I have four transistors there to it. If you go inside, most of your Astron Power Supplies, like an RM60 or an RM70, have eight transistors. that's not enough transistors to handle the current, the power dissipation. If you add four more transistors and mount them inside on a piece of heatsink, the power supply actually gives you much less failure. And another thing, I happen to like a 2N5886. A lot of these power supplies, linear supplies, are used a 2N3771, and I like the 2N5886. Back to you, Nick. Those are the two comments about fans and power supplies.
I understand, and thank you for your input. I'm a little tired. I'm going to cut us off early tonight. So I'm going to say 73 UL. That was Tech Men number 1664. Be kind to each other. See you guys down the log. WS2N for any other comments. K2IW, good. Well.
Okay, very good. Yeah, I gave the last couple of launches that are going to be going up a while back. So that's pretty much it. Well, see you next week. Glad everybody can join in this evening in 73. This is WS2N clear.
WB2HWW clear. Good night, everybody. Good night, Dick. Good night, Joe. Good night, everybody else.
WB2HWW and 2HH.
Go ahead, what's up?
I just wanted to concur what you were saying about the Astron power supply and the pass transistors. I did that to the to one of my 50 amp units, and I'm going to do it to a 35 because I had to repair that not too long ago. And I think the only difference between the 60 and the 70 amp unit, I think they're way almost close the same. I think this is the same transformer. I think there's just additional pass transistors and possibly an extra fan or something like that. And that's it. So I concur. Enjoy QH.
Not actually. The difference is, I think the fan is slightly different. The 70 is not rack mountable. That's the first thing. Now, you have to put four more transistors in parallel, and you have to just put some extra resistance. Now, you can go to better transistors. You can go to something like a 2N5886, which is a 300-watt dissipation instead of a 250-watt dissipation. You can go to a little better transistor. And I'll tell you, I got an RM60 up at the site that's been running for the last couple of years with no problem, so... And what's good about it, if you have 12 transistors and you lose a transistor, you're not going to run into trouble. What happens with most of these Astron supplies that have 8 transistors, if you lose one, now you got 7. So you have a cascading effect. That's what's happening. And Astron, the reason why they don't go to 12 is because of the cabinet size. They just didn't want to do it. And they didn't want to put four transistors inside. But that's what you do. You get two pieces of little pieces of heatsink. You mount the transistor somewhere inside, you know, on a little piece of heatsink. And you just mount it somehow inside and don't touch nothing. And I'll tell you what. Best way to go. Because I'll tell you, I like the Astrons. They're clean. They've got very good regulation. A 723 regulator. You can't beat that technology. It doesn't give you any RF hash. But the problem is that the Astron supplies just don't hold up. But if you modify them, wow, they do hold up.
Yes, and also I don't like the socket. The plug, the, what is it, that the for the pass transistors, I don't like those sockets. I don't like that they're that's a pressure fit. I actually the one that failed, I actually directly soldered the legs. I soldered it onto the socket. I didn't really care because when I went to pull one of those out, it came out like it came out loose. It wasn't tight. So that's I don't know what kind of contact that was making, but it was actually loose. So I don't care for those sockets either.
Well, I'll be honest with you. You don't really want to solder them. I did that on once. I had it done on one supply. That was a mistake. No, you really don't want to solder them because if you have to replace the transistor, that's a pain in the ass. You just have to make sure that when you put the transistor in, they're tightened down. Really, the way a transistor, that's why you have two screws on either side of the transistor. And when you tighten the transistor down, that's how it pushes the two pins. Gets it force. So if you tighten down the two screws on either side of the transistor, you make sure you don't strip them. That's what you want to do. And you also, the tighter you make it, you have a better contact, less resistance for the for the heat sink. So you use compound. You got to put compound on it, and you also want to make sure the transistor is tight. Yeah, once you take those screws out, that transistor should come out easily.
Well, I think you said you actually made another point. There was a lack of heat sink grease. It was like, basically it was such a small amount that it was like $1 million an ounce. So basically, if I took out the screws from the transistor from, let's say, one supply, and assuming there was no grease on it, it wouldn't just slide right out, like, from gravity. The unit that I was working on, the transistor just fell out by itself because it wasn't being held by any grease, and it just slid right out. So those contacts are not holding. They're really not making good contact with that socket, and the screws keep the transistor there. But there should be some tension between the pin and the socket, and there was none. So that's why I did it with that. But I guess point taken about convenience. I just want the power supply to last because I've had the you have to replace more than one component sometimes. The SCR. Whatever there's a fentanyl or SCR, so I just don't want any mishaps with those anymore because the better pass transistors are actually, they can be a little more expensive also.
I gotta get out of here, but please, you know what I'm gonna tell you, the cost of the pass transistor don't make a difference. What are you talking, 50 cents more? So let's say on 12 on 8 transistors, what's it, $4? So on 12 transistors, you're paying an extra $6. Yeah, if you're manufacturing them, yeah, it's going to make a big difference if you buy thousands of transistors. But no, if you want to do it right, and I will tell you that Astron cuts corners, but I will tell you, I haven't had any trouble. You don't usually lose the SCR. The weakest link in an Astron is the pass transistors. And I keep the fan on all the time. What I do is I jump out the fan. I jump out the thermistor on the fan, and I leave the fan on all the time. The only thing I don't jump out is I don't jump out. There's another thermistor in there that shuts down the supply if it gets too hot. That I leave in for safety. But as far as the fan is concerned, I leave the fan on all the time, and that's it. Let it run, and that's about it. You let it run forever, and that's it. Sure, you got to pick up dust. But hey, you gotta do some preventive maintenance once in a while, clean it out. All right, let me get out of here, N2HUH. I'll speak to you later on, buddy, and I'm going to get going. WD2HWW.
Bye. Okay. Oh, Radio Howie, very good. Take it light. Talk to you again soon. 73N2HUH.
All right, have a good night, Andy. And I'll speak to you later. I think I got that correct, Andy. All right, N2HUH. WB2HWW. I'm out of here. Bye.
That's right, Howie. Handy, Andy. You got it right. Good night.